and let us know what that is so that we can pass the word along to your fellow listeners. Coming up next on your favorite radio station, it's time to Wake the Bear. Keep it tuned in. KSEO Santa Cruz.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comment.
With that being said, I cannot find the intro, but Wake the Bear Radio is on the air.
Good evening. We want to welcome you to Wake the Bear Radio, KSCO, and we are here. It's Ron Powers, Brandon Johnson, and I am Chris Hurst. So we want to welcome you. We are a conservative, Jesus-loving radio program that's talk, and we want you to call in sometime around 8:30, we're going to be taking callers, and the number would be 479-1080. So we want input because we don't want to be a big echo chamber. So how are you all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Great.
Doing good.
Good to be here.
It's going to be a good night. A lot of things to talk about. I mean, I've never had so much data to cover. You too.
We got an amazing subject tonight, and I'm looking for you two to really bring it, bring the thunder. Because I want to know more about devolution, and I know you guys know about it, so we're going to be talking about devolution tonight. Before we talk about devolution, I just got to say, I got in trouble on Facebook. I had four posts that were unapproved. I guess Justin Trudeau says it's a minority view that is of unacceptable positions or unacceptable views. So those independent fact checkers, they call them, that we know that the law actually came through and showed that they were just opinionators. They put me into jail for 60 days. So I haven't yet reached like Martin, you know, Dr. King being actually in jail, but I am in Facebook jail. I'll be gone for a little while. I'm going to probably still post a few things, but they said they're going to make it so I can't be seen for most people for like 60 days. So
just your mother.
I can't believe that.
Mom can watch it.
That's right.
She agrees with me. I'm like, come on, I'm trying to win hearts and minds here. My mom agrees with me.
I just can't wait till True Social comes out and just say goodbye to Facebook.
Goodbye.
I'm so sick and tired of the just the censorship. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple students on the street the other day, and me and a friend were just talking. We were saying, like, the fact that they would censor Joe Rogan just for having two experts on his show that have an unacceptable opinion. I mean, or just another doctor, right? Another doctor's opinion, professional. And these guys are like, one of them has more peer-reviewed articles than any person on the planet. And apparently, he's got to be censored.
Yes. Well, I was a little sad to hear that Joe Rogan actually apologized. Yeah. But that's the way it is. He's a gentleman, and he was trying to do the right thing. But let's just, that Truth Social, that's coming out on February 21st. What is that, Ron?
Well, it's an alternative to what we have right now. It's just a social, the whole thing. I mean, it's a video, it's social media, like Facebook, like Twitter, like YouTube. Probably have its own email service, all that stuff. But they've been working on this. They have their own servers. When I say they, President Trump's behind this, and he wants the truth to come out. You know, he's just tired of being completely censored, and everybody that's in agreement is completely censored. I think everybody probably out in the audience knows of at least one or two people that have been censored. I mean, it is just crazy because, you know, currently they big tech claims to be either a platform or what, a editorializing unit.
And you can't be one or the other. The law doesn't protect you to be both.
And they jump on both sides depending to their advantage. And so they're going to go down. I just know it is because too many people are just sick and tired of this.
You know, so. But this is one of the things that I think we're going to be talking about soon. And I think one of this really important is that you can't tell people what's going on anymore. You have to show them. Mm-hmm. And there's a phrase that was going around for a while that I believe is actually directly from the CIA. And it says, when the American people have, like, everything that they believe is completely false, we'll have accomplished what we have attempted to accomplish. And right now, there are six major corporations that run all of the media, 95% of the media people see, and they are fully brainwashing people. And sooner or later, people are going to wake up and they're going to be kind of upset how controlled they were and how our media was complicit in brainwashing people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
There will Absolutely. Be a day of accounting, won't
a
there?
Reckoning.
And there's been a little bit of a shaking to that media mountain this week, hasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
CNN, yeah. Right?
CNN.
Yes, I'm sure they're a little uncomfortable at CNN. There's what's some other news? I read there was a CDC actual article that proves that natural immunity is real and that it is a robust way to be immune, and that so it's there on the national website, and it should lead to COVID policy and mandate changes. When you have a big organization like the CDC come out and make bring out these studies, we can't just live with the old science, the old information. Nope. And so it really is time to make some changes here.
Absolutely. Really, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, mentioning CNN, I wanted to say something about that, like, because you and I were talking about Jen Psaki's response to, you know, hey, why should we believe what you're saying about what's going on in Ukraine? And she's, oh, you should just believe me. And we're like, would at least give us a 3D model of weapons of mass destruction, like what you guys did when we went into Iraq. Yeah. Like, give us at least a little more here than just your word, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's our news briefing. Our evidence is, I told you so.
I told you so. Yeah.
What was it was last week. There was a State Department briefing, and a reporter actually started to challenge and saying, what documentation? And he says, well, that it's been unclassified. It's free for you to know. And he says, well, can you give us where it's at? He says, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm doing it. He's like, no, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. He's like, where are the documents? He goes, well, if you wait till after I'm done talking, we'll get a transcript of what I just said. And he's like, that's not it. And it
circular
was really
reasoning.
See, yeah, totally. So it was really neat to see that even the mainstream media is starting to get agitated with this, just the baloney.
Yeah, and I think what that is evidence that even, you know, not all the mainstream media are bad guys.
No.
And there are real journalists who want to regain a reputation for journalism and begin to do better journalism. And I think what you're seeing is some people who've been in the business for a while, they're rising up and saying, you know what, we're not just going to give the 4 a.m. talking points. We want to have a rigorous form of information for the people.
Mm. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
So tonight's topic, what is it?
Devolution.
Devolution. Yes.
And not to be confused with the 70s band.
That's right.
But the hat does look very Devo, bro.
Yes, we put it on the bear. This is the old Devo, what? You probably remember that. I grew up skateboarding, so this was all, we used to listen to all this with the Clash and, you know, the Ramones
all right,
and all that stuff.
This is a big subject. Let's get into the subject.
Yeah.
Come on.
So it's not Devo as in de-evolution. Okay. It is devolution.
We're not going back to the monkey.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so let's jump into this. You guys have done a ton of research on this, and I be honest, going back today, researching it really was a blessing to me. It really brought a lot of hope. And I got some points I want to make about this, but I want to just ask you guys, what is devolution?
Well, devolution, my understanding is it's devolving the existing government that is too big, and it goes to a lower, kind of like a lower magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
Devolution, as in Patel Patriot's definition, and Patel Patriot, let me just qualify that real quick.
Yeah,
so what had happened is a year ago, everybody was depressed because they're like, what? Donald Trump didn't walk in as president and Joe Biden successfully stole it. And so people were really bewildered and stuff. But then about July 2nd, there's a normal guy, and he calls himself Patel Patriot because he doesn't want to put his name out there. And, you know,
business guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a life to live and things like that. So anyway, he starts doing some investigation and digging into documents, because what really struck him odd was that President Trump was making all these cabinet changes like in December after the election. And it's like, okay, he just lost the election in people's eyes. And here he is firing or moving people around and, mm-hmm. and promoting others. And so that got him into this search, like, why is he doing all this stuff? And what he found was this concept called devolution, which was continuation of, of government.
Continuity of government. Yep.
Of government. Mm-hmm. And so he finds that that's actually been around since Eisenhower's time. So
like 1940s, we're talking?
Yeah, yeah, because of the nuclear...
A nuclear attack.
The threat of a nuclear attack. What would happen if Washington got hit by a nuke?
What would we do?
So you'd have to have some sort of continuity of government, something that could continue and take over, and it would be
a contingency plan for the continuity of government.
For a catastrophic event.
Right, for some unforeseen circumstance that would keep the government moving forward.
So the first one was the catastrophic event would then be like nuclear war. But are there other catastrophic events that we should be concerned about that could happen?
It could be like a meteor hitting or something, you know, something like that.
Okay.
Cyber attack, okay. Where everything is completely taken down. And that was defined later. I got to look through my notes. But that was defined later. So at the time, it wasn't defined. It was just focused in on the nuclear threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to new documents and interviews with military experts, they had various plans, codenamed like Octagon, Free Jack, and Zodiac. Mm-hmm. And these were underground laws to ensure government continuity. They're so secret that under these extraordinary plans, devolution could even circumvent the normal constitutional provisions for government succession.
So if a foreign entity stole the the election, excuse me, that could be considered a catastrophic event if a aggressive foreign entity stole the presidency? Would that be...
Absolutely.
Might be a particular reason for actually enacting devolution?
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's so secret. It's a top secret contingency plan, but it's already in existence. So it's something will set it off, and the general public may not even know that it's being set off. And the military is supposed to do all that they need to do to make sure that the Constitution goes forward as it's been written and that there is that continuity of power.
Mm. Yeah. And it was brought up actually during the Iran-Contra, those hearings and all that. It was asked of Colonel North about continuity of government plans because he actually wrote for Ronald Reagan continuity of government plans. And then actually even in 2016, Barack Obama signed a presidential policy directive, a PPD 40, to maintain continuity programs. So mm-hmm. it exists. They don't like to talk about it. Actually, let me step back. When Colonel North was asked that, mm-hmm. it was quickly shut down saying, hey, that's national security. We don't want to talk about that around here. And they just shut it right off. But it is in the hearings.
So there's plans, there's contingencies, there's departments. They're all involved. I mean, it started with potential of nuclear war, catastrophic event, Chinook Mountain, right? The mountain that was mm-hmm. basically made to withstand mm-hmm. a nuclear attack, and I believe that's in Colorado, right?
Yes.
So they have been planning since the 40s to, if there was something that catastrophic, they would protect the essential functions of government during that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fast forward, we find out the Patel Patriot thinks that devolution is currently under... It's working.
It's inactive.
It's been activated.
It's been activated. That's what, and a lot of people throughout the country have really investigated what Patel has written, and they're starting to agree. Yeah, it sure looks like it.
Well, what was that one general, McInerney, right after the election? He was testifying over and over again on media that no, we have all the information. We have everything that proving that the election was stolen.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
General McInerney?
Yeah, he did say that. So there was something leading up to this. If I can just go down a kind of list.
Yeah, go for it. Mm-hmm.
So COVID was a launching pad for this event. It was a bioweapon. And now they're starting to say, hey, it looks like a bioweapon. And so Trump, he had imposed tariffs on China to combat the $500 million deficit. Billion, sorry. And $300 billion in theft of property. Then he's... The next day after he did that, as far as the tariffs, they start to do an impeachment process. And then remember that whole whistleblower that nobody could say his name and know, and it was a quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo.
You know, all Ukraine again. You know, and Trump, he had beat that. And so by the when he beat that impeachment, it looked like nothing could stop him coming 2020. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Trump said about COVID that this was an attack on this country, worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11.
He did say
so
that.
So now all of a sudden you have a wartime feeling to this. You know, he's calling it a wartime. He said that the 2020 election was stolen. So, and it's interesting because sitting presidents, they don't gain votes and not get reelected.
That's
you know,
true.
Obama lost 3 million votes on his reelection and still got in.
Wow.
And Trump gained 12 million votes.
And still lost.
And still lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so obviously it's starting to look, and people are starting to question, if it really was stolen, which I believe it was, that is a complete coup, an act of war.
That would be a belligerent occupation.
So yeah. What you're saying is that the premise for devolution is that America has been in some undeclared war, probably with China, based on the Wuhan lab leak and cyber and the election.
Don't say lab leak. Stephen Colbert flipped out on Saturday Night or on this show when someone said lab leak.
Well, they have medication for those kind of things.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to say lab leak. It, whether it was an intentional one or not, it isn't a theory. I do believe that it's been proven.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, you know, who was the chief of staff for President Trump? Mike Pompeo.
So yeah.
He came out and said that now they're convinced that there is an overwhelming amount of evidence for a lab leak. It's the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming.
Well, they've already presented it to the committee, the congressional committee to show. So it's not in the theory zone any longer. So that's the premise is that we are currently in some sort of unusual warfare.
Yeah, yeah. And Trump was preparing for it. I mean, even in 2017, President Trump had established a presidential advisory commission on election integrity.
Wow.
So he's already starting to do election integrity because, you know, 2020 is coming and he's already knowing. Then by September 2018, he does an executive order imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in U.S. elections. Mm. So he can confiscate and take everything. So you think about some of these big, deep pockets that are running a scrimmage and running censorship and helping take over an election, abetting. I mean, you think about the Zuckerberg boxes and all that. So remember those voter boxes that he paid for? He could come along and confiscate. That's what that executive order is saying. He can confiscate the, you know, all that.
Wow.
So there's some deep pockets he could actually go after.
Basically, Trump knew that the election was going to be stolen. And so, I mean, he'd been signaling, warning us for months. And so that gives us, you think that was him showing his hand that hey, we are about to be or we are in some sort of wartime situation?
He was at least preparing for it. I mean, it paved the way for the Department of Defense to bypass all agencies to report directly to the president any information they find regarding foreign interference in the election. So not everyone else needs to know, just President Trump needs to know. And so that was part of that executive order. So I think he was preparing and he was getting things ready.
I love how like in 2016, the other side said, oh my gosh, there was interference in the election by the Russians. Oh, blah, blah. It's like they almost always tell you what they're about to do by blaming you, accusing you of doing it first, because that's what they're about to do.
Yeah, and those who might be offended that this was like, how dare he take this initiative and do this devolution plan, if that's the case, he is the commander in chief, and it is his sole responsibility to make sure that our nation is kept safe. And if we're under attack or if there's a real war going on as commander-in-chief, it is on him.
Yeah. And just what, 2 months later, in November of 2018, he actually created the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
Wow.
So he's getting things ready. He's saying, hey, we need to have our computers in place, everything, our ducks in line, and we need to have personnel for this. And so he is preparing for that day. And then in a year later, December 2019, he created Space Force. Space Force is actually responsible for cybersecurity.
Really?
Yeah. So they're the ones that are, so all this cyber stuff like Mike Lindell and all, you know, the packets and stuff,
yeah.
that would be collected by Space Force.
Huh.
And it might be because, you know, Space maybe Force. You have some woke people, generals in the Army. And so this fresh one, this fresh group, you know, Space Force, he could probably handpick exactly who he needs. So
that's cool.
He's preparing. He's
so,
preparing.
So then what would you say then is like the actual theory? Like just kind of sum it up. What's the actual theory that devolution is?
The actual theory for devolution in Patel's understanding, Patel Patriot's understanding, is that the government was so big and so corrupt that it literally stole an election away from the people. The people have lost the power to be heard, the mm-hmm. power to vote, and devolution was going to take it back. It was going to be the okay. military. The military was the only way. It was going to come, and it would take over and sort things out. And we had something similar happen just a year, within a year. Was it Myanmar? Myanmar? That country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old Burma.
Yeah, they said that political system was so corrupt that they actually had to go in. The military came in, and they took it over. And they did a military martial law takeover.
Wow.
And martial law doesn't mean tanks in the street, and you got to stay in your house,
choppers,
and there's curfews
coming.
And all that mm-hmm. stuff. The way this devolution appears to be is that it would probably be in isolated areas, mm-hmm. maybe Democrat-run cities, you know, where all the rioting and the burning happened, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But for you and I, it probably would not be impactful at all.
Because they want to make the general populace insulated from the effects of it. Like, for instance, I think there was something about a CCP defector. And then
yeah.
there were CCP mm-hmm. assets in the United States' like students here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read that. I mean, I saw that. Tell me
that
about
that. Huge.
That
was huge. That was part two of 16. There's 16 parts to this devolution so far, and he keeps writing. And part two is, it was Vice Minister Dong Jingwei, and he was the Minister of State Secretary for China. He defected from China supposedly like February 10th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a year ago. And China denied the defection, yet when they were asked, hey, you know, do you have pictures of him? They found an old picture, and people are like, we're not buying
that's
it.
That's not a modern picture of him.
Yeah,
yeah, he was a significant man. I mean, he would have had the similar position that General Flynn would have had in with the NSA here in America.
Really?
So he was that yeah. high level.
The highest level of intelligence.
Yes, and he defected. The other thing is that the Biden administration did not know that he was in America for a while.
Yeah.
And so that's an interesting piece of information.
Makes you wonder, how is the president unaware of knowing about this major, major development of mm-hmm. a defection of somebody of such high caliber?
Intelligence yeah. in the CCP.
And yet he doesn't know.
The current resident doesn't know anything about it.
That's another earmark for devolution, who's really in charge. But, you know, the interesting thing is with Dong, he had a lot of claims. You know, he did claim that COVID is a bioweapon, and he had all the evidence for that. He brought terabytes of information, by the way.
Wow.
But he says, you know, he claims that he has the names of U.S. citizens who provide intel to China, names of Chinese spies working in the U.S., and or attending U.S. universities, financial records showing U.S. businessmen and public officials who have received money from the Chinese government, and so on. And so he goes down. He basically claims, like you had mentioned earlier, Chris, that a third, I don't know if that was in our conversation before the show, mm-hmm. but a third of all university students from China have a CCP
asset.
Connection or asset. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I read, is that they were concerned that if they... because people were saying, well, why don't they just, if this happened, then why haven't they just come out and told everybody? And they're saying, well, because if they made it public, they were concerned about what would happen right away with that many Chinese CCP assets in our universities, like how it would cause backlash on our people, I mean, full-on warfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of innocent Chinese people. You
exactly.
know, there are citizens and
most
stuff
of
like
them.
That. And, you know, you get a crowd going, a mob mentality. You know, they're looking to hang somebody sort of thing. You don't want that. And, you know, this whole thing is supposed to be done in a way that doesn't create civil war.
Mm.
So that's why it's been so patiently slow. You got to let them make their mistakes, you know.
Right.
And that's what people are seeing. They're saying, this is crazy.
Well,
you know?
It goes back to that principle that says you cannot tell the people, you have to show them. It's kind of like the Minority Report, which we mentioned before. The movie, The Minority Report, they were using psychics to try to find out who was about to commit a crime, and then they would capture you just before you committed the crime. It's like, no, you can't do that. You have to let them commit the crime and then show all their cards so it's very clear. So when it finally comes out, people aren't going, oh, no, you're just making that up. And it's like, you just saw it happen in front of your eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. And one of the theories, too, and you know, we're all just trying to figure out what in the world is going on in the world today. Patel Patriot, he is putting forth evidence that he's found through reading open source document after document after document. And when you look at the plan, it wasn't just the 2020 election. President Trump has been trying to bring down a system that has been active in this country throughout the world for decades. And even in his inauguration speech, he said very clearly right from the beginning, he said, this is not just a transfer of power from one administration to another. We are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people of the United States.
Wow.
And that's when the military people came, the personnel came behind him, and they stood up in line, all the services right behind him during the inauguration. And then he said, for too long, a small group of our nation's government have reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. This American carnage stops right here, and it stops right now. From this day forward, it will be only America first.
Wow.
And that is where I believe he laid out, this is the plan, and I'm moving forward with it.
Basically, he would say is, everybody behind me, all these jokers have been robbing you blind for decades, and it's ending here.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, they're all probably sitting there kind of like,
it's a little sweat.
It wasn't one of the most darkest speeches that we've ever had for an inauguration. If you go back,
it's
one of the darkest. I mean, and then he
or brightest. It depends on which side of the aisle you're on.
Brightest, but yes. But he also, his rhetoric was the same when he went before the United Nations. It was the same when he went before the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
every time he said the same exact things. So if you don't like him, at least he's consistent about what you don't like.
Yeah.
I like what he says, and I like what he did. So
yeah, he's been consistent all the way along. I mean, for 20 years, saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, what you see is what you got. Well, you know, he definitely made some changes in his cabinet and stuff, and this is really probably the meat of why people think devolution has started. So 2 days after the Associated Press, quote, declared Joe Biden as president, Trump promotes Christopher Miller as acting Secretary of Defense on November 9th. Miller's background, he was an expert in clandestine special operations and intelligence. He became in charge of the special operations and irregular warfare, which includes foreign international defense. So he had a background. He was already an expert in basically what this theft that happened with foreign interference. So he's already an expert in that. So he gets promoted 2 days after. That's just kind of an odd thing, right? You just, quote, lost the presidency, and now you're moving cabinet around. And so, and then the next day, November 10th, Anthony Tata, he's promoted as Undersecretary of Defense for the policymaking, and making him a primary coordinator of the Department of Defense. And the directive, 3020.26, just to be technical, I guess, which establishes the Department of Defense continuity policy and assigns responsibilities for its implementation. So there you hear that word again, continuity policy. So he's already moving somebody into that position. Now the next day, Kash Patel, on November 11th, he's promoted as Chief of Staff for Miller. And then on that same day, November 11th, Ezra Cohen Watnick was promoted as Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, the UDI. That's a top Pentagon civilian overseeing the intelligence.
Wow.
And you know what? Do you know where the UDI reports to?
Mm-mm.
The DIA, that's Defense, I'll have that written down here.
It's probably Intelligence Agency.
Yes, Defense Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so they report directly to that.
Yeah, so these are the top people in the Pentagon in the Department of Defense. I mean, they are the very, very top. And to take off the head of the Department of Defense two or three or four days after an election is unprecedented.
Especially when you only have like a month or two left, you know, and that's it.
So, you know, we're getting to our 35 here, half the hour, and we're going to probably start taking calls in a minute. So would you want to recap really quickly and then we'll start taking some calls? Do we have any calls? We want you to call in at 479-1080. What do you think about devolution? What do you think about, but this is not our theory, but I like it. Patel Patriot, he actually says it's not my theory. He got it from a guy named Carlos Asada, which ends up turning out to be Thomas Wickner. And he followed him on another platform and then ended up, it turns out that they deplatformed him, Patel Patriot, when he was on Mastodon because he was talking about this. So there were some forces already trying to silence all this information from coming out. So, you know, maybe you haven't heard this before. Maybe you're like, no way, this is too crazy. It can't be true. Would love to hear from you, either side. You know, maybe you have evidence that this is taking place. Love to hear it. We're here to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think that the two pieces that I heard that were really, made me think, maybe this is real, is the disconnect that it doesn't appear that Joe Biden's executive branch is able to influence the military at certain levels. He has control of some things, but there are other things that he doesn't seem to have anything and any control. And one of them was the closing of Gitmo. He wanted, he's been talking about it. Obama has been talking about it.
Yeah.
And what we see is Gitmo is actually growing and they've built a gallery for who knows who would be going to the gallery?
New courthouse with the gallery.
And it's Monkey Works shows from that it's 10 times as big as it used to be under Obama.
Yeah, and there's only like 39 prisoners there currently. So
who are those for?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well,
makes you think.
Quite a building plan. And then the second thing was that Biden was trying to negotiate with Iran and get Iran back in the Iran deal. And during the time that he was negotiating, our military was bombing targets in Iran. So there obviously was a little miscommunication between the executive branch and the Pentagon.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Pentagon, do you remember when they were trying to get information from the Pentagon? Like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, when Biden was just becoming president or resident, you know, they went to the Pentagon and the Pentagon refused. They said, we're not going to tell you. And so they would not tell them the secret operations that they were currently involved with. Mm. And so, I mean, that just really sounds odd.
I wonder, you know, it seems like Biden did have control over portions of the government, like the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which we know there's a lot of evidence that it was the CIA that's doing a lot of operations in Afghanistan. And a lot of it was to control the poppy fields, which was, using illicit drugs to fund dark hat operations within the U.S. military. So it looks like there's dark hats and black hats and white hats going on here, good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, well, I think Afghanistan has red-pilled more people than any other event since the inauguration, because there were people who realized, oh, no, who is our commander-in-chief? And what is this debacle? And what if we get into something like a nuclear war-scale event? Mm.
Yeah, that'd be pretty serious. Oh. You know, even President Trump, when he was at the CPAC, he had a speech and he was talking about Biden in that White House. And then he went and said, with a small W.
W, White House, right?
Yeah, and if you look into that, what does that mean? What is he saying? Why did he emphasize that he's in a White House with a small W? Mm-hmm. That's just a White House, but it's not the White House.
Which, and some people say that he's fortified.
Yeah.
South of that White House, which would be
Mar-a-Lago,
which was known as the Summer White House at one point.
Yeah, it has a bomb shelter and all that stuff.
Fully outfitted.
Yeah, that was before Trump's time, even. I mean, that was used that way as a summer getaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or winter getaway.
Well, do you have anything else you wanted to add about Devolution?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's pretty much pretty much all I wanted to talk about. There are, it just was giving a taste of what Patel Patriot has written. There are 16 parts, and we covered like four, maybe five of them. But there's an awful lot. If you want to go down some of the...
You got kind of a recap that you wrote here. I'm going to read this. So Trump prepares for election theft, number two. China colludes with the Democrats to steal election and colludes with a lot of the Republicans as well. It's not just the Democrats. They're both sides are dirty. Trump caught them all and prepares for a counter move. Massive personnel moves are made at the end of the situation. The Department of Defense, the Pentagon, to place Trump and allies in key roles. Implementation of what appears to be a devolution plan for the special ops. He refuses, there's a refusing to tell incoming Dems, you know, and, what's going on with those special ops, and then checkmate. And it's just a matter of time to get that information out. And there's, we don't understand exactly why it's being withheld. You bring up something, and if we don't have a call yet, I want to say, you bring up something, it kind of takes us back to that prophecy of that one prophet who passed away just after President Trump was elected in 2016, right?
Yeah, Kim Clement.
Kim Clement.
Yeah, I'm going to do a search on him real quick.
He said... Yeah. He said that there would be two presidents, did he not? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the
right.
same time.
Right, at the same mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. Well, we do have a caller at this time.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to let, Bill, we're going to invite you to give what you have to say. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome,
Bill. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you. The one's going to be a long one and one will be a short one. But the first one is that could you explain in very, very simple terms how this election was stolen. Simple terms, just from your opinion, how it happened.
Well, according to the Arizona audit, there were 10 times the amount of ballots that were in discrepancy. Apparently, Arizona and Maricopa, Trump only lost by 10,000, and there are like 100,000 or 200,000 ballots that were irregular.
Which state was this in?
Maricopa, Arizona.
Arizona. So that would have been Arizona.
I thought that's all. That audit's already been gone through several times. Why? I've never heard that before.
Well, there was a recounting initially. They just said we'll recount, and so they recounted all these ballots that were very questionable, and so that's what went out on the mainstream media.
I know. I got that part. But what about the ninja guys?
Yeah, so
they went in there. They were basically they're conservatives. They had no reason. I watched their testimony on television, and I think it was in front of the Senate. They said there was nothing.
No, that's not what I got.
Then how come the election still went through then? If you're saying that there was some big thing, how come the election's fine in Arizona? There's been no change.
That's a good question.
I agree with you. That's
well,
why
it's with the Attorney General right now. We haven't heard the end of the. Hold on. We haven't heard the end of the story. The evidence right now is with their Attorney General, and there are people being interviewed, and so there is an open case. I think we're probably going to be hearing in a few days some very significant information on it.
And we'll wait to hear that. Okay, but you see, what I really need to get more and more is that what you're making it sound like is it was this mass thing that was able to steal the election from this. So what I want to know is that you're taking instances from different states. What I understand is that there must have been some sort of correlation between all this with all that. Okay, for instance, the seven states that tried to present themselves as Trump delegates when there was already Democratic delegates, that kind of thing. That seems like there was a massive plot going on through the whole thing. And if it why wasn't it able to succeed if the military, sound like the military was kind of behind Trump, or Trump had actually put enough people in there in December to move it? But for some reason it never moved. So I'm not really getting a positive answer.
Yeah, let me give you four reasons. Let me give you four reasons. First of all, the election process had a chance with the state legislator to investigate the election fraud and put some resolutions on the floor to decertify the electors. And they didn't. The states did not move forward. They had Giuliani, remember when he went out and he presented all the evidence to the state legislators? And they did not respond. That was one place where state evidence could have...
There was no evidence. That evidence wasn't any good at all. Oh. How could there be 60 lawsuits that go up against it? And 60, more than 60 lawsuits, and every one of them was thrown out because there was no evidence.
I think what you're seeing is how deep the corruption actually is. After the legislature, we could go to the federal the courts, and that's what we did. We did lawsuits. We even took some things to the Supreme Court. And those courts were unwilling to even hear the evidence. And then the third way is what Wisconsin did with law enforcement. And we had some officers say the DAs should have done it. The attorney generals, the Department of Justice should have done it. But it ended up county sheriff departments had to come forward and give evidence of voter fraud. And then the fourth place is Congress. But we, you know, Congress is very, very, very blue and very ingrained. So there were four opportunities to turn this thing around.
The Senate's not blue. The Senate is very, very red.
Well, actually,
the main reason why things don't get done because there's no bipartisanship.
They may be red, but they're rhinos, meaning that they may be socially red. But they're still part of the old boys club. And so a lot of these people are protecting themselves, I believe.
Scratch your back, opinion. You scratch mine. And
exactly. You pass my bill, I'll pass yours.
You know, you're asking a great question.
Yeah.
Because it would seem that in a normal, if we are either a fair election process or we are a banana republic. And that is a little earth-shaking,
not a
isn't it?
Republic because we're the largest economy in the world. So
well, what if the banana...
Forget that analogy.
What if the banana...
Forget that analogy.
Well, I'm not going to forget because I believe that that banana republic has to do with who is put into office, how they're put into office, and if you come and ask for, can we have an audit? You know, if there's no problem, let's go ahead and do an audit.
Okay, well, it's been more than a year now. Why has it taken so long for this evidence to not come out? I don't think Donald Trump needs his own radio station or Twitter BS, whatever he's doing. Why doesn't he just take some of the money from the Republicans and go on TV for a couple of hours and explain exactly how this election was stolen?
Love that. That's a great idea, Bill.
Hanging out in Florida.
I agree with
he's
you.
Living in Florida.
He should take something needs to happen. I agree.
I don't think Trump is
come on, guys. You know, you guys know a lot of information I didn't know anybody knew. But you guys got it. I mean, this is your moment, you know. You could fly down to Mar-a-Lago and say, Mr. President, let's do this.
Well, I think that this is part of the plan is that right now, if you came out and gave a lot of this information, people will not believe it because six mega corporations control 95% of the media. And then one of the largest sources of media, the president, fell this last week. So we're slowly starting to see like the lights go on and the roaches run out of the dark places. And I think that's all part of it. And there's a prominent saying that says you cannot tell people this information. You have to show it to them because the media, I mean, I got put into Facebook for posting the difference of opinion, and they're telling me they're independent fact checkers. And it's like, you know, most of the media is controlled and paid off. And that's the problem is there's a lot of big money that has been purchased back and forth.
They are a commercial venture. They are in the, they're you know.
I don't care. There's the First Amendment. There's a First Amendment. I don't care if you're commercial or not. I'm an American. First Amendment, it stands against a commercial venture.
Yeah, that is
true.
Well,
I think your guys' show is pretty First Amendment. You're saying whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Well, we're on a private radio station. We're not part of the Big Six.
Yeah, we're an independent radio station. There's a few of us left out there.
Yeah, and yeah, we are giving our voices the opportunity. You know, we do appreciate that you've asked some really good questions. You know, part of the problem
didn't quite get an answer yet either, but I guess I'll get it eventually.
Well, you want the answer that we want too.
We're all waiting for that answer. I mean, you know, it's I don't want to say it's just clear cut and it's like, oh, you don't understand. I totally see where you're coming from. And I think there's a lot of validity to that question and frustration, because I think all the people that desperately want Trump to get back in have the same question. Why hasn't it already happened? People are devastated a year ago. Like, how did this happen? But, you know, part of this devolution plan is
Wait a minute. I don't know that's devastated by that, and I somehow.
Oh, if you,
I know lots of people.
I know lots of people. They put all their hopes saying, "Oh, Trump's coming."
You guys all do.
Well, that's anecdotal. If you know people.
Okay, I don't think they were devastated to the point where it's the icon of that screaming liberal lady, you know, with the beanie on. I don't think that kind of...
melting into a puddle.
But people were pretty depressed. They put a lot into a man. And that's a good thing to know, that we don't put our hope into a man. I think Donald Trump's just one part, like a cog in the wheel. There's a greater plan. And ultimately, I believe this is how God will use it to bring down centuries and centuries of corruption. I mean, there's so much power with, you know, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and all that stuff. You can't take them down overnight. You can't just say, "Oh, I caught you," and it's all done.
Yeah.
They will lose the hounds of hell.
That's right. And you know, things have got to be done right. What you're seeing is the painful patience. It's got to be done according to law. It's got to withstand legal challenge. We can't just abuse power, and we can't do a turnaround the wrong way. And so it's important that the process goes through. But Bill, we do appreciate your point of view, and we thank you for
doing
it. Austin, I could say one more thing.
Sure.
One more thing, and I will call you guys again, because you've been so nice to me. You didn't hang up on me, which is amazing.
Oh, don't worry. We can't be offended. You know, we're.
Well, I'm just asking questions. That's all. Yeah. But I like to say, this is one of my favorite quotes. Donald Trump once said, "I love the poorly educated, and remember, most dictators do."
That's a good point. I mean, I myself sometimes say this guy is either part of the plan of the Savior or he's the Antichrist, one of the two, because there's no in the middle. So.
Well, he is known as the great wrecking ball, isn't he? He does like to shake it up.
It was prophesied that he would.
We just appreciate your calling in, and we hope to hear from you again.
You know, speaking of prophecy, you had mentioned, Brandon, earlier about a prophecy on two presidents. So Kim Clement, back in 2008, I just looked it up again, he had a prophecy. This is a guy who actually prophesied that President Trump would be president, or Donald Trump would be president, way before, I think 2012 and 2014, up at Bethel was one of the places. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one of the things he had prophesied was, "And they shall say, but now there is a second president. How can there be two presidents? An unusual thing, isn't it? Says the Spirit of the Lord. Why would it be that one with a double mind would stand up and face the people? No, they shall say, 'We have two presidents. What do we do now?' Fear not, for God said, as I promised before, this is my nation, and I will change things according to the time and season. And I told you now that I will expose and reveal things that have been hidden, so that my nation can move into the next generation, or next election, I'm sorry, and into the next phase with victory and honor and glory," says the Lord of hosts. And so,
that's
and he
good.
Goes on after that. Now, this is really interesting, because what guy in his right mind would prophesy something that would have zero chance of ever happening,
right?
Who? Why would you do that publicly? Why would you say, "Oh, we have two presidents at the same time"?
Is that 2015 or 14 that he did that?
2008.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. But the thing is he heard from the Lord. I believe he heard from the Lord, and he just spoke what he heard. Mm-hmm. And as unreal as that could happen, or unlikely, I should say, mm-hmm. is that happening? That has happened. And people kind of scratched their head for years. Like, what are you saying, Kim?
Yeah, that's really good. You know, if all this is true, or you know, then how do we act in cooperation with it? And if you know, and I would say this is one of the things that comes out for me for devolution. Devolution, you gave the definition. He said it's the transference of rights, powers, property, or responsibility to another, especially the surrender of the power of local authorities by a central government. Mm-hmm. So even if Donald Trump didn't do this, this is what needs to happen for us to take back our nation. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Devolution is saying the people, we the people run ourselves. And this is what's going on actually around the world right now, and especially in Shasta County right now. I don't know if you're familiar with what happened there. They basically, a crowd of people came and they served notice to all of the supervisors and said, this is not personal, but you have failed at your job to protect us and from government overreach from the state. Your job was to protect us, we the people. We elected you to defend us, not to fight for the state's programs and the state's plans.
Yeah, and be incentivized.
And be incentivized by what is called bribery. Like, the CARES Act is a federal bribe to get people to follow the will of the upper ups and the state and the centralized governments. I'm telling you right now, the Bible has like 25 times that God says, I hate bribes because they cloud the mind of the one who receives it and it perverts justice, and I'm a God of justice. And what we have seen happen in our country right now is a massive bribe campaign by the federal government to control the minds of the weak and the control the minds of the people who are not really there for you. They're there for the money.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I know you had a soundbite on that. Are we going to play that, or are we going to?
I have it here.
We kind of just stated it, but I mean, we can. I think the key here is it's 8:56. You know what? What I want to talk about real quick is I want to just talk about the hope in this. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to put this little video clip on our and you can go watch Shasta County defend the
rights. It is a powerful clip.
Powerful.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is that this is what needs to happen. The deep state, the dark forces, and controlled, but I believe, by the enemy, by Satan, wants us to rise up in violence. But that is not the way it's proven to be done correctly. Dr. King showed us that you have to do it in nonviolence. And they're doing everything they can to frenzy up the MAGAs and frenzy up the conservatives. And they get just a very small portion to be violent. And they even have to make up stories of violent MAGAs with Jesse Smollett and other people because there aren't any ones out there. And what I do believe is that American people really still believe that they can use their voice and they can follow the way of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. It's an active nonviolent resistance to evil. This is not personal. In fact, the people who I'm upset with, it's not really them that did it. It's the forces of darkness behind them that are doing this, that are pulling on their greed and their lust and for control. And so nonviolence, number two, seeks to maintain a friendship or win a friendship and say, listen, guys, you didn't know fully. You were clouded by the bribe you received. You didn't really understand it. You need to return the money and repent of what you did. And we will understand because you were deceived, and we understand you were deceived. And then another step of nonviolence says nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice, not people. So again, Dr. King said, we're not against people. We're against the injustice, which comes from the evil one. And then number four is nonviolence holds that suffering can educate and transform people. So when we suffer under the hand of injustice, all this stuff that's going on with our kids in our schools and wearing the mask and they can't breathe air, all this injustice is actually showing how bad evil is.
Yeah. That's so good. And I know we're winding down, but I wanted to give a testimony of a Massachusetts town that was doing a devolution activity, and they were threatening Verizon with a cease and desist order over cell towers. It was the City Health Department of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, that unanimously voted to remove or relocate cell towers that are a source of multiple illnesses. They rose up, they came together, and they said to one of the big corps, you turn it off or we're kicking you out of town because what you're doing isn't good for our people. So that's an example of a devolution lesser magistrate working on behalf of the people.
That's really good. And you know, some of this can be really tiring. You got a few seconds here. Some of this can be really tiring. I want to encourage you this. There was a story that Jesus told about the persistent widow who went to the judge, and the judge said, I don't fear God and I don't fear her, but because she keeps coming and keeps coming, I'm going to give her what she wants. We've got to be persistent. We've got to fight this fight together.
We've
got to band together as the American people. Love each other. Love is the way, and speak out against injustice, and we will win. Do not fear. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
That's a good message. All right, we want to say good night. Thanks for listening tonight. This has been Wake the Bear Radio and KSCO.
We don't have our clip.
This is AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. We're coming up on 9 p.m. Keep it tuned in. Your favorite.